Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Mike.
Hey, Jillian Rosato in the building.
And this is the Two Real Podcast again.
Yes.
Second one of the fall after a long summer break.
Get some. today was the first day of school here.
It was the first day of school here.
It was weird because normally we take two pictures on the first day of school, and today was just the one. And I just quickly spiraled, and I'm like, next year is the last first day of school pic. Because Chase's first day of classes, I was like, send me a picture. And he's like, nah.
He's like, I'm in college. Those days are over.
Yeah. But we got them off to school. We're in the middle of a crazy heat wave here.
Yeah.
So their first 2 days of school are half days, which I'm like, we had a boomer moment reflecting back to last week's episode. We were like, when it was really hot out when we were in school, we never got out early. They were like, Suck it up.
Yeah.
But then Mike's like, you know,
the buses don't have air conditioning. I'm like, they never did.
No.
What are you talking
about? We didn't
have
air conditioning. Only like, I went to Lenape, which is a local high school here, and they had trailers that had air conditioning or the computer room.
Yeah, because
so they, it was like always, I just hit the microphone. I'm a pro over here. it was always good to take a computers class because you knew
you'd
be in air conditioning for like an hour a day, which was nice. Right. But we also don't know, was it like this hot when we were that age?
I don't know. You're going to get into like the global warming argument on this podcast.
Don't at me.
No, I don't think it was this hot. I remember, you know, being able to wear layers the first day of school.
Yeah, you know? You wore, like, I wore my limited two outfit.
I wore my structure vest and t-shirt under it.
Oh my goodness.
My brand new Reebok pumps. Say something.
Did you have like the Reebok pumps with the little basketball on the front that you like
squeezed to pump it up? That's the epitome of a pump. Yeah.
Wow.
And people used to just mess with me. And like when I wasn't watching, they would hit the release valve and you would hear the tss.
Oh my goodness. I remember when I was going into high school, my mom's like, you need to stop wearing your father's jeans. We're going to buy you normal jeans. And she took me to Old Navy and made me buy jeans. And I remember crying in the dressing room. I was so like traumatized that I had to wear jeans that actually fit me.
You wonder where like the big baggy.
Yeah, I wore my dad's big bag. Well, my dad's not a big guy, but like he's 6'2".
Right.
And I was like a 14-year-old girl. I think I was 5'3", then I'm 5'3" now. But I would wear like the big belt to like keep them on, but they were men's jeans and that was my look. But yeah, my mom's like, it's high school. We're not doing this anymore. And I was like, oh, it took me a while. I brought them back, but I started wearing like, slimmer tops with them. And then I kind of phased out of it, but I hung on for a while.
You hung on for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now your dad has his jeans back.
Yes. Yes.
Today, I want to talk about something that you and I have experienced a lot in, you know, I guess the last almost decade now of being in ministry, right? 8 years.
Yeah.
You've been in ministry for 8 years.
Yeah.
I've been now, I think I'm moving on 22 years.
I've been in full-time ministry for like 5 to 6 years.
5 to 6 years. Yeah. Right. But you've had exposure
being
married to me for 8 years.
Yeah.
In ministry, and something that's unfortunate, and I think it's just so present in our modern day age more than I think any other time in history, is the fact that like we just get judged a lot from a distance. Mm-hmm. So judging, I want to talk about judging people from a distance. And when I came up with this idea is we were at someone's housewarming party, and you know, pastor sitting around a campfire and you know, you would think we'd talk about life and, you know, there was a Phillies game on, or we could talk about baseball, football season's about to start. You would think we'd talk about normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what we'd prefer to talk about, to be honest. Like if you're ever at a party with us, the last thing we want to talk about is church.
Yeah. And I love everyone at that place, so no shade on them, but I don't blame this on them. I just blame it right now in our society where, as ministers come to your party, like we're normal, right? So, you know,
I want to eat a hot dog. I want to drink a beer. I want to watch the Phillies game.
Right. But then two questions. Somebody asked me a question about hell. So they got all theological on me, asking me about hell. And then someone else, I don't want to mention the person's name. Then they asked me, hey, what's my opinion of some famous preacher, you know, that's on YouTube and TV and everything like that. And I paused for a second, and I didn't want
to. And they asked it in like a negative way too.
It was a setup question.
Yeah.
Right. You know. And again, no shade on this individual, but it was what it was. Right. It was a setup question. What do you think about so and so? Right. Mm-hmm. And my answer was this. My answer was, I don't know him. So I am not going to waste my energy making an assessment about someone I do not know.
Mm. Well, because it's not even an assessment. You're making an assumption.
Mm. Say that again.
It's not an assessment. It's an assumption. It's because an assumption. You have no facts to base it off of.
Right. And, you know, maybe right now you're watching or listening and you could sit there and say, yeah, but you have, you know, especially when someone as reputable as this individual, you know, they have, you know, thousands of YouTube clips and thousands of TikTok clips and documentaries and interviews and this and that. Maybe that maybe you can, you know, make a close assumption. But I've just made a rule in my life that unless I could sit this close to you and have a full out conversation with you
and have a relationship
I just don't have the right to make that assessment outside of a conversation, outside of a connection, right? Mm-hmm. And here's why, because you and I have been the victim, you know, I don't like having a victim mentality, but you and I have been the victim of people judging us from afar,
yes.
Right? You know, let's list the stuff that we've been called. I've been called a cult leader.
Satan.
I've been called Satan.
Hip-hop pastor.
That was special. I don't mind the hip-hop pastor.
DJ, limo driver, MC.
Yeah, that's not shade. That's just misinterpretation. I'm talking about like straight up like just negative, you know, people spreading a negative reputation of me.
False negative reputation.
Yeah. False negative reputation of me outside of actually knowing me. So, you know, from afar, people like, oh, that's the church that, you know, you fill in the blank, or that's that pastor that, you know, fill in the blank, without ever having an actual interaction with me. And I hate to say it, I want to be a big boy and I want to be like, you know, whatever, I don't care about what people think. In regards to my system of belief, here's what I believe. You know, because the Bible tells me as a pastor, as a leader, that I'm supposed to live above reproach. Mm-hmm. And above reproach means that like no one could really blame you for much, right? Mm-hmm. So I got to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be, I'm not going to falsely say, I don't care about what people think. Here's the deal. I need to care about what people think. Mm-hmm. However, I just can't let it define me, mm-hmm. right? And everyone, we say this, that like it's not, you know, your network determines your net worth, mm-hmm. right? And so it's about who you know, it's about who you're connected with. And sometimes you have to just be aware of your reputation. Mm-hmm. And to sit around saying you don't care about it, I think that's a lie. I think you do care about it. It's just that I think people with confidence have found in their heart that they're not allowing those negative false assessments to define them. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, yo, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts when people don't understand you. It hurts when people misinterpret you. It hurts when people are inaccurate about you.
When people form opinions of you based on other people's opinions of you and not facts about you.
Right, right. And so, you know, maybe, so here's what I found. What they do is that we judge people off of snapshots and not the motion picture of their life, mm-hmm. right? So you are basing my whole entire life mm-hmm. on one person's snapshot, mm-hmm. one person's experience. And I will even give you the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, maybe I gave that person one bad experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But is that the totality of my whole life? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been like, I guess falsely interpreted.
Oh my goodness, all the time. All the time. It's funny when we travel for work and stuff, and specifically in the Midwest and the West Coast, like they don't know what to do with me because I have
Let's be honest, I don't know what to do with you. Just
kidding. But I have that like New Jersey directness.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all know the temptation when a woman is direct and assertive, you don't consider her a leader, you consider her a
B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep it PG because my nephew listens to this. You consider her a B, and that's right. That's unfair.
It is unfair.
Because the people that know me know that I'm incredibly empathetic. I'm very sensitive. I would never want to hurt anybody.
But you are direct.
I am. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a direct person.
Yeah.
It's never the transition.
You never have to wonder about what Jill is thinking.
I'll either say it or you'll be able to read my face.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do get.
And if you know us, if we're at like a meeting where I need her to be aware of her face, my hand's on her knee. And then she knows to adjust her face when I do the little knee squeeze.
It's like so involuntary sometimes, though. Like the eye roll, it's like I've been doing it for 42 years. It's hard.
But the room feels your eye roll.
Yes.
I don't know how you do it. It's like this gravity to your eye roll. Yeah.
But yeah, that is like my biggest, and I'm told that I'm intimidating. And that's another thing. Like, okay, because I'm a confident and assertive, that means I'm intimidating. No, that's your issue. That's
now, that
not
happened
mine.
A lot when you were a single person, right?
Guys would be like, you're very intimidating. And I'm like, why? Because I'm confident and I know what I want? Like,
yeah.
That's your problem. That's not mine.
Right.
That's a pet peeve of mine when people place their intimidation. Like, there's toxic intimidation. There's manipulative intimidation.
Yes.
But when someone is just a confident person and that makes you feel insecure, like, that's not that person's fault. That's your issue.
Right. Don't make me responsible for your insecurity.
Yeah. But that's something as well. And then I'm often... not so much lately because I have taken a step back from it, but my social media presence in the past, people would assume things about me. Oh, you're buying all these clothes all the time. Like, granted, your girl likes to shop, but like a lot of the stuff I'm getting for free, I'm being paid to post that. When we travel for work, people are like, oh, the Rosados are just living it up. They have all kinds of money to just blow on these trips and da-da. All of our trips are paid for by the organization that we work for, not Fervent Church, for the organization that we work for. So when we built in a couple days of vacation for Puerto Rico, like we paid for the 3 days of our hotel, but like everything else was, and our food, but everything else was taken care of. Like we ain't rolling like that. But like you go online and you see, oh, they're here now. They're there now. Oh, wonder where that's coming from. How do they have all this money? And it's just like, you're assuming so many things. And like, I don't feel that I have to explain myself to people, but it's frustrating when they just make assumptions on their own when they have no idea of the whole realm of what's going on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I know that for me, like a lot of times it's a third party assessment.
Yes.
And then that third party assessment then becomes gossip.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I have to jump over hurdles that aren't even there sometimes when I'm meeting new people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we just hired, shout out to Pastor Ashley. We just hired a creative arts pastor.
Woo woo.
And she did her due diligence. Remember she was going around asking people about us and, you know, around our district. And we're part of the Metro District, which is everywhere basically between New York City and Philadelphia, all the churches there. And as she was asking people about us, what were they saying? They were saying,
we're intense.
We're intense.
Which we kind of are, I guess.
I would substitute that. But yeah, but if
we're very focused, driven, high capacity, passionate.
Right.
I can see how that could be interpreted as intense. I think maybe we took it a little bit more negative than we should have.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe.
But
if we didn't have the history of people, you know. But there has been in recent months, I was coaching an individual. And it was about 3 or 4 months into the coaching process where this individual stopped me and said, hey, I need to apologize. And I was like, okay, what do you need to apologize? He goes, I just want to apologize that I just had the wrong image of you. Like I had the wrong impression of you. Like someone told me about this experience of you and other people kind of affirmed it. And I just expected something different. I expected you to be a jerk. I expected you to be manipulative. I expected you to be about yourself. And that couldn't, all of those things couldn't be farther from the truth. And I'm really sorry. Mm. And they said that in a way that was like endearing and nice. And I appreciated it in the moment. But then still walking away, like, I wasn't mad at that individual. I was mad at those other individuals for spreading false information, mm-hmm. right? Because it's all third-party information.
Well, and just think about it. It goes in line with society as a whole. Like, people share articles all the time that they're just reading the headline. They're not actually reading the article. And you can liken it to that. Like, someone hears, oh, Mike's this. And mm-hmm. then they all start spreading it. And it's like, you know nothing about the scenario, the situation.
Right.
You, like, but you're sharing that headline without reading the article.
Yeah, 100%. And, we just live in a society where, like, maybe I'm wrong. It's on camera.
I'm gonna snip this clip.
When I go to a restaurant and I have a good meal and a good experience, maybe I'm a horrible person, but I'm not going to Yelp.
Yes.
Or Google reviews.
Yeah.
When I have a good experience. Yeah. We don't spread good news.
No.
We're quick to spread complaints. And negativity.
Yeah.
Negativity, unfortunately, spreads faster than good news.
Yeah.
And so when I am motivated to write a review, it's because I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not when I had the most pleasant experience ever. Right?
It's true.
Which sucks because I need to practice what I preach. And like, if I'm loving that restaurant, if that waiter hit it out the park,
yeah,
like, I need to write a good review on it.
That's something, right? I actively practice lately, because recognizing people are so quick to like be like, my food took forever. And like, I used to work in a restaurant business, so right. I understand everything that goes along with food going a little bit longer than normal, and it's not your server's fault and all that. But when OpenTable emails me, how was your experience? If it's a great experience, I make a point to make sure that I write a review and shout out and all that stuff. I actually really steer away from leaving negative experiences. I don't know that I've ever left a negative remark about something. It would have to be something really terrible for me mm-hmm. to be like, okay, I need to give a review of this,
right.
you know?
Right. But our society does that.
We're quick to
all the Karens. I'm going to leave a bad review.
You know
what I mean? And that's the retaliation for a bad experience. And I think that happens with people. We just, you know, we go and we spread knowledge that isn't firsthand knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We spread narratives. I shouldn't even call it knowledge.
Yeah.
We spread narratives that isn't firsthand narrative. It's third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand narrative. But then if it has that much momentum, then you go, well, everybody thinks this. Mm-hmm. So therefore it has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So this Yelp principle is even evident even in daily interactions.
Well, and like, this is going to be a tangent. With all the advancements in AI nowadays, like, you really need to do your research, because there's pictures floating around that like aren't actual.
Right.
They're AI, but mm-hmm. we jump to conclusions. Do your research,
right.
whether it's on a situation, a person, whatever, before you take it for face value, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're quick to jump to conclusions, like you said, read headlines and not even have the full data.
Mm-hmm.
We make decisions about people without getting all of the data.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that again. We make decisions about people without getting all of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unfair. And again, golden rule. It feels like crap when I feel misinterpreted. So to go back to that first story, when we're at a campfire, I'm like, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? Now more than ever, I'm just like, I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for every negative thing you could say about him, if you really wanted to, you could find something positive about that person, right?
But nobody wants to do
that. and the thing is, the higher the profile, the higher the visibility.
Yeah.
Right? And so I wonder what people would think about you if you had a camera around you 75% of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, because we take 77 pictures before we post the one.
Right. So, like, what would it look like if somebody followed you mm-hmm. and copied every word you said and edited?
Mm-hmm.
And, when planning the church, I was a freelance video editor. I know the magic of editing.
Yeah.
I can make someone look worse than they really are, mm-hmm. and I can make someone look better than they really are, right?
Yeah.
And just by simply adding, like, an ominous tone in the background.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, before you're watching a video or reading an article, ask for the metadata.
Right.
See if it's been altered.
Altered or edited. Yeah. Right, right. You know, yeah, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Right. And just to check it out. But
I don't mean that literally. I mean it like figuratively.
Yeah, yeah. Check the metadata. Yeah. Before you make the decision. But have you ever falsely assumed something about someone and then surprised yourself when you gave that person a chance?
Yeah, I can't think of anything specifically off the top of my head, but I do, like, I'm very much a gut feeling person. So when I meet someone, like, if I'm like, you know, like, they seem cool, whatever. But there's times I meet people and I'm like, something's a little off. Then there's some people that I meet, I'm like, red alert, stay clear. But the ones that I'm like suspect a little on, I try to give them a chance before like making my final conclusion, because like what happens if they're having a bad day?
Yeah.
You know, like you might see a mom in the grocery store yelling at her kid, but you don't know she was up all night with a baby. She had a long day at work.
Right.
She's not feeling well. Someone in their family's not doing well. Da, da, da. And the kid just did the one thing and she lost her stuff.
Right.
It happens to the best of us, but don't like format your entire opinion of her off of that.
Yeah.
You know, like yep. Give people a little bit of grace. We love to say that, but we seldom do it. Mm-hmm. But just have like a sense of understanding, you know? Yeah,
right. I try not to judge someone on the decisions they made if you didn't know the options they had.
Mm, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you made a bad decision to go off on your kid in the middle of Target. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But do you know the options that they had? You know what I mean? Like, did you know the experience that they had? Did you know how sleepless they are? Do you know what they're juggling? Do you know what they're struggling with?
Yeah. Right?
Do I know your struggles? Do I know where you're coming from, right? If I don't know that, then it's like, it's not your place to make that assessment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a person that, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. When we merged with our second church, there's a person that people were just like, oh, this guy's just so neurotic and, you know, type A, and this person, he would always like position hand sanitizer even before it was cool, right? Hand sanitizer everywhere. And you know, in the beginning, we're like, man, I don't trust that dude. I don't, you know.
Yeah,
He would drive you crazy. He won't have a conversation. And then, but once we gave grace and gave this person the space to have a relationship and dialogue, and like, one of my favorite people.
Love him to death.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite people. And I wish I didn't listen to people. I wish I didn't, because I would have gotten there sooner, right? If I just gave that person the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. Some of my favorite people are people that I initially didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, we live in a society that judges people before we know them. Judging people from a distance.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to any of our listeners on how to guard themselves from judging people from a distance?
Like, just take a beat.
Yeah.
Just take a beat. Make your own, form your own opinion. Survey. Get to know the person. Actually, like, know them. Have a conversation with them. Go somewhere with them. Like, be a part of their life. Because if you're not any of those things, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? It's not good. Just because you don't know someone or agree with what you see doesn't mean you have to label them either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So.
Yeah. I have found, what if we did this? What if I'm not going to assess your character until I do two things, until I have a conversation with you or I've caught up on all your content.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then people listening. So what if I can't have a conversation with them? And then what if I don't have the time to read up on all their content and watch their content?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not worth the energy
mm-hmm.
or space or time for you to make a judgment in the first place.
Imagine all the time and energy you waste judging people.
Right.
And imagine if you actually like did something to serve people with that time. Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday. There's some movie coming out and everyone's going crazy about it and they want to boycott it and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, they're making all these TikToks about it.
And it hasn't even come out yet.
No. And it's like, what if you took all the time and energy to complain and moan and make videos and all kinds of stuff. Imagine if you took all that time and actually just served somebody with it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the world that we would live in?
Would this world be a lot better?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That right. is my hope for this world. Right.
But we think we're protecting people.
Yeah.
But you're not protecting all people because you're destroying that person without giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what if you just said, another advice I would say is like, hey, listen, if you're asking me for my opinion about someone, this was my experience,
mm-hmm.
but give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at least do that. If mm-hmm. you feel like, hey, I want to serve you with my experience,
mm-hmm.
but then throw in the disclaimer, like, I don't want you to base it off of just my experience. That was just my experience.
Mm-hmm.
How many restaurants have we given it? Like, people are like, oh, I don't like that restaurant. I'm like, you know, we're going to go see it anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? You have this theory on Chinese food. Tell me your theory
okay,
on Chinese
food. Okay, so the theory on Chinese food, and this is based off of TikTok. They say
but we've proven this theory.
The best Chinese food restaurants are rated 3.5 on Yelp.
Why?
And it's because Chinese culture, if the food is good, they rate it like good. But American culture, if the service is bad, they rate the restaurant bad. So when it equals out, like it's about 3.5%. And in Chinese culture or Asian culture, it's all about the food. It's not about the service.
Mm.
And in American culture, a lot of times, it's all about the service and not about the food. So it hits that 3.5 mark, which is China One in Marlton, shout out. 3.5 stars.
Can we get a sponsorship?
Best okay. Chinese we found. They always give us free cookies and sodas, though. So that's our sponsorship. Our favorite Vietnamese place, 3.5. And you don't get the best service. What do you want? Here's your food. You pay.
Right.
You're done.
They're not talking fantastic. To us. They're not asking us how
yeah.
their day.
Pho Eden, Cherry Hill, shout out. but yeah, like it's just that you're drawing assumptions from people's experience, but you're actually not going and having the food yourself.
Yeah, and yeah. it's banging food.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, I've tried like New York Chinese food,
mm-hmm.
and that down in South Jersey, that's the spot. China
yeah.
One.
Yeah, but you walk in there, it ain't fancy.
No,
when you call.
Call. What do you want? Literally, that's what she says. Yeah.
What
like,
do you want?
China One. What do you want? I'm like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but the best Chinese food.
Yep.
And so, you know, what if you bypass someone's assessment on someone's exterior or someone's face or someone's and just have a conversation and mm-hmm. dive into
or just eat their food
and just eat their food. Right. And experience it firsthand. And then, you know, save the energy of spreading negativity. And what would it look like if you invested that energy into just serving people?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This world will be a better place.
Yeah.
You're not protecting them with your negativity.
No,
you're not.
Nope.
Spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
Mm.
Biggie.
Just pulling it back in.
That's right.
All right, guys. So that there were a lot of tangents on that one, but we hope you got something out of this. If you did, like as we post the reels throughout the week, leave a comment on your favorite part of the podcast, even if it is Mike quoting Biggie, we'll take it. But you can check us out on YouTube. We're here. We're smiling. We're waving. And we're on Google, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the things. So be sure to hit that subscribe button, rate us, whatever, thumbs up, whatever the things are nowadays.
Whatever the things are. You know, you're listening to podcasts. You know what to do.
And we'll see you next Wednesday right here. Too Real.
Peace.
Bye.